Champions League edition of The Assist, brought to you in conjunction with Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me this week are Mark Langdon and James Milton to look ahead to the Champions League action. Before we look at the fixtures themselves over the course of Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll look firstly at the top goal scorer market as things stand in the Champions League at the moment. And probably not a huge surprise to hear that Harry Kane is at the top of the betting at 9-4 as things stand. 5 goals for the Bayern Munich and England ace to date. Erling Haaland, 11-4. He's got 3 goals to his name. Vinicius Jr. has 4 goals and is currently available at 7s, as is Robert Lewandowski, with the Barcelona man also on 5 goals for the tournament. Victor Gyökeres, the man who's everybody's talking about at the moment at Sporting Lisbon, around about 8-1. He's also got 5 goals. And Kylian Mbappe and Rafinha, both 12-1, have got 1 and 5 goals respectively going into this week of action. Mark, we'll start with you. Harry Kane leads the way. As I say, not a massive surprise in terms of that. But anything else catching your eye in terms of the goal scoring betting?
Well, yeah, I think it's really interesting, Warren, because, you know, if we have a look at it, Manchester City and Real Madrid, you know, the two teams that dominated the outright betting at the start of the season, have not started the season as well as what they would have hoped. And, you know, Erling Haaland has certainly been misfiring so far for sort of Premier League champions Man City. They're all at sea at the moment. I'm sure we'll get to their problems in due course. I think Haaland would still be a big threat for sure, because, you know, City can just go and score 4 or 5 goals against anybody. Harry Kane, he's earning this reputation now as a flat track bully, and he got another hat trick, didn't he, on Friday night. The third goal was fantastic, wasn't it? The control, acrobatic control, and then headed it into an empty net was just a delight to watch. One player, though, that I think is being disrespected in the market, and it's Robert Lewandowski, somebody that scored a lot of goals throughout his career. He's 7-1 at the moment. He's already sort of, as you said, it sort of alluded to earlier on there, he's kind of level pegging with Kane at the moment. He's a much bigger price. And I think if you have a look at the way Barcelona are playing this season, with Rafinha on one side, Lamine Yamal, who's injured at the moment, on the other one, you've got Dani Olmo in that creative position behind the front two, Pedri, Gavi, a lot of talent in that team. Lewandowski is just there to score the goals. And, he's done that better than just about anybody over the last decade or so. So, I mean, he'd definitely be my shout at 7-1. I respect Haaland. I think I might get onto it a bit later. I think he might bounce back to form against Feyenoord. But with City's problems at the moment, they're just slightly more difficult to trust overall in terms of how far they're going to go in the competition. And Barcelona, we spoke about it, me and James, previously. We both think that they're sort of decent runners for the Champions League outright in terms of winning the whole thing. So I think it makes sense, really, that Lewandowski's a big danger as well.
Outside of the big names, James, we mentioned Gyökeres as being touted to every European club across the continent at the moment. Just how good do you think he is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's, you know, his record in Portugal is sensational. You know, the caveat to that is that he's playing for a very good Sporting side in what's a pretty weak division. But then you see him score the hat-trick against Manchester City. I think he scored 10 goals in 7 internationals for Sweden this year. And yeah, you can certainly understand why his stock is so high. It'll be fascinating to see what the next move is for him, because it's going to be a crucial one. I mean, the other fascinating thing about his career is that he was released by Brighton for I think 1 million or something. It must be quite reassuring to Brighton's rivals that even they now and then get one wrong. I think they had Neil Mopay and Aaron Connolly as their strikers, and obviously thought that Gyökeres was surplus to requirements, but he's made a stunning start to the season.
Should also mention as well, by the way, Mohamed Salah has got 1 goal for Liverpool in the Champions League, but he's as big as 22-1 to finish as top goal scorer. And I suppose, you know, somebody with that pedigree, Mark, as well, when you look down the odds, there's going to be one or two there that are going to tempt people.
Yeah, they will, but the sort of word of caution for Salah is that Liverpool are almost there, really, in terms of top 8. And then you wonder whether Arne Slot will start thinking about the bigger picture. The bigger picture is this Premier League title race, you know, 8 points ahead of Manchester City. Would Salah play all of the rest of the league phase? You know, if Liverpool get a decent result against Real Madrid, I'd be wrapping him up in cotton wool and just not putting him out there for, the Champions League games. There's a Premier League title to be won. There are bigger Champions League games on the horizon as well. So I think you have got to sort of keep that in mind in terms of some of those players further down. So with Real Madrid, where they've still got a lot of work to do, you'd expect Vinicius and Mbappe to sort of be there until the end. I suppose with somebody like Salah and all of those Liverpool forwards, it could be a good opportunity for Slot to rotate. And that's another reason why I like Lewandowski, is because Barcelona don't really have the options to rotate that much. And so I still expect Lewandowski to be wheeled out for most of the rest of the league phase campaign.
Well, time now to look ahead to the midweek fixtures, and we'll start off with Tuesday's matches, and starting with a game at the Etihad Stadium where Manchester City will face Feyenoord. Pep Guardiola's men are 5-1 on to claim the victory. It's 6-1 the draw and 12-1 at Feyenoord. James, we'll start with you. So much has been said about City in the last couple of weeks. Quite rightly, they're still up there in terms of the betting for the Champions League and lifting the trophy this year. But just where are they at this stage?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that four-match losing streak before the internationals, you kind of looked at it and thought, well, EFL Cup, you know, you can lose one Champions League game at this stage and it's not a disaster. A couple of tight losses in the Premier League. And then and then you're looking at, you know, Pep's new contract, players coming back from injury, and then they get stuffed at home by Tottenham. So I think it is it's a really important game for City. You know, obviously, as the odds suggest, they should win it. But yeah, I think they need to stop the rot pretty quickly, because that Tottenham game was a real shock. And you know, missing Rodri, missing Kovacic, you know, those destructive qualities in the midfield. You know, City at their best, you know, they were renowned for their attacking football, but they also know how to handle themselves. And yeah, they just looked a bit of a soft touch in recent weeks. So I think there are going to be goals in this game. I mean, Feyenoord are very open. Lost 4-0 at home to Bayer Leverkusen. Lost 3-1 at home to Salzburg, which was a bigger shock. In terms of a bet in this, I think it is tricky. But I was looking at Josko Guardiola in the goal scorer market. You know, obviously had a tough time defensively against Spurs, but yeah, he is a goal threat from left back and at set piece situations. He's scored three times in his last seven Premier League starts. He's averaging 1.5 shots per game in the league. So, in a game which I think is gonna produce plenty of goal mouth excitement, hopefully he can get on the score sheet at a nice price.
If you're a City backer, Mark, in terms of winning the Champions League, how concerned would you be at the moment?
Well, you'd definitely be panicking. I think there are a couple of sort of, I suppose, glimmers of hope that you would cling on to. One, the Champions League is never won in November, and so there's still plenty of time, for Pep to sort it out, find a solution. January, they might need to go into the market again, buy sort of reinforcement, bring in a replacement for Rodri. That would sort of help sort of stiffen them up in the midfield. And the other thing is, if they lose to Liverpool on Sunday, the Premier League might be over for them, and then they can concentrate more on the Champions League. So it almost, by being so bad in the Premier League, it might help them in some silly way in terms of the Champions League. But you've got to be worried. You can lose games. Any team can lose games of football. But the way they lost to Tottenham was just the most un-City-like, you know, so many areas of concern all over the pitch. In terms of this game, though, I think that the final, the absolute cannon fodder, perfect opponent. I'm actually going to go for Erling Haaland, that trick at 9-1. He's been way off it in recent games, even against Spurs. You know, he wasted opportunities. They're still creating the moments, though, for him. I think, he's only got sort of two goals from his last 8 XG. So he's way behind expected goals in recent matches. But Feyenoord were absolutely sure. I watched that game against Leverkusen, and they were terrible defensively when they lost 4-0. And I saw the goals from that defeat to Salzburg And I just thought Haaland, you know, this is a good opportunity for him to get, you know, find his range ahead of that trip to Anfield. He did get a couple of goals against Sparta Prague in the recent home game in the Champions League. Hopefully he can go one better. I did look at the two or more, but two or more is only, I think it's about 12-5. And so for him to get the extra goal at 9-1, I fancy City to come out all guns blazing here and, you know, get back to winning ways at least.
Well, at the same time as City take on Feyenoord, it's Sporting Lisbon against Arsenal in Portugal. Sporting 2-1 to claim the victory. Arsenal 13-10 and the draw 5-2. No Ruben Amorim, of course, for Sporting Lisbon. I just wonder, you know, how much that will impact on them going into such a big game, Mark.
I think it will, Warren, because we haven't got much evidence really as to kind of what the new guy, João Pereira, who's relatively untried. He'd sort of been promoted from Sporting's B team. You might remember him. He was sort of used to play for Sporting back in his playing days. Like, he was in charge at the weekend. They won a Portuguese Cup game 6-0. I'm not reading anything into that. I think Amorim, his influence on the club at Sporting was immense. That's why he's got the Manchester United job. He might be thinking twice after he watched that performance at Portman Road on Sunday. He's got a hell of a job on his hands there. He's left behind a very good team. Jokeres up front is the focal point for it. But I think this is a good opportunity for Arsenal to go and win the game. Their away form hasn't been amazing in the recent months. It's been a really hard run of fixtures. The return of Odegaard, Saka's back to full fitness. I think that really does improve them as an attacking force. And when Sporting beat Man City on the last match day in the Champions League, City were nowhere near full strength. And at one stage in that game, I thought City were going to win about 6-0. They were in complete cruise control and then collapsed. Don't see Arsenal collapsing. Good opportunity for 3 points.
And Milt, Arsenal coming in to this off the back of that impressive win over Forest at the weekend, look to be getting back to somewhere near the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's no coincidence that when Odegaard plays, Arsenal suddenly look more fluent. And when he's not there, they struggle for goals. You know, their last few away games in Europe and domestically, they've struggled. But as Mark said, it's been a really tough run of road fixtures. I actually like the look of over 2.5 goals in this one. You know, Sporting admittedly playing against fairly weak opposition, obviously including Manchester City in their current form in that. They've scored bundles of goals recently. Arsenal not quite as convincing defensively this season, but like I said, with Odegaard and Saka back, and you know they've taken 7 points from 4 games, so they can't really afford to drop too many more if they want to finish top eight. So I'm expecting a more open game than we've seen from some of Arsenal's recent Champions League trips.
We're going to turn our attentions now to Wednesday's action. The other three British clubs are in action on Wednesday. And we'll start off with the big game at Villa Park, where Aston Villa take on Juventus. Villa 11-8 for the victory. It's 9-4 the draw and 21-10 Juve. James, we'll start with you with this one. Villa obviously have not so much fallen off a cliff, but certainly their form has really dipped dramatically in the league in recent times. But can they put it together for this Juventus test?
It's strange, isn't it? Because they're defensively in the league, they've been so poor. I think they've kept one clean sheet in 17 games. Obviously, a 2-2 draw at home to Palace at the weekend. And then the only goal they've conceded in the Champions League was the penalty with the Tyrone Mings absent-mindedly picking the ball up against Club Bruges last time out. So really interesting to see their approach. I mean, having said that about the penalty, obviously that was a freak incident, but I think Club Bruges had 7 shots on target to Villa's 1. So that's a concerning stat. You know, I think Villa rode their luck in that famous win against Bayern. I mean, they're still in a great position in the Champions League. I'm like the look of both teams to score in this one. I mean, Juventus in Serie A barely concede any goals. I think their XG in 13 league games, XG against in 13 league games is only about 1 higher than it's been in their first 4 Champions League games. They've been far more open. They had like a 3-2 win at Leipzig when they were down to 10 men. And they need 3 points as well. So I think this one could be quite open. Both teams to score on Peele's.
So, Mark, I suppose we could look at this two ways, really, that, you know, Villa haven't got a huge amount of European experience as a team, whereas in Juve have. But if you look at the both managers, then certainly Unai Emery has a lot more European experience over Thiago Motta, and maybe that could play into Villa's hands.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the producer of the show is a Villa fan. I don't know if that's why we're doing these Champions League specials, because we didn't do them last season. All of a sudden, Villa getting the Champions League, and we've got European fever. But, you know, Emre is a master of being able to rotate a team from midweek to weekend and sort of plot a path through these cup competitions. We've seen him do it numerous times before, so I trust him. I would say that I think Thiago Motta could be something very interesting as a coach. You know, he did very well at Bologna last season. Juventus are just putting the building blocks into place for this season. Bit of inconsistency maybe in some of their performances. I mean, they went to San Siro almost back to back. They had a 4-4 draw with Inter and then a 0-0 draw with Milan. Absolutely stunk the place out. It was one of the worst games of football you're ever going to see. There were no big chances in that game for either side. Juve have already drawn 8 games this season. Villa without a win in 5. Yeah, I'd sort of be disagreeing with Miltz in terms of a high-scoring game here. I think it could be edgy, quite tactical, and the draw stands out to me at about 9-4.
Okay, we'll move on now to the action in Glasgow, where Celtic take on Club Bruges at Parkhead. Celtic evens to win the game, 5-2 the draw, 13-5 Bruges. We'll start with you, Mark. I mean, we mentioned there via Miltz with Bruges beating Villa last time out that it wasn't just that ridiculous penalty, which was the difference between the two sides. Bruges played pretty well in that game.
They did, yeah. It was seven shots on target to one in their favour. Watkins had a sort of shot from about the edge of the penalty box. Other than that, don't remember Villa doing anything really in the game. It was definitely a deserved win for the Belgians, albeit came in very bizarre circumstances. But their games have been really entertaining so far in the Champions League phase. They've played 4 games. There've been 34 shots on target in those 4 games. And that leads me on to my bet. I'm going for both teams to score. Brendan Rodgers of Celtic playing well at the moment, and they're attacking and showing a lot of endeavour in the final third. I thought it was a great result against Leipzig last time out in Europe, and they'll be looking to build on that. I'm struggling to pick a winner, but I do think it'll be high scoring. So yeah, both teams to score. It is 8-13, so not a massive price, but I think it probably should be even shorter.
Milton Celtic with 2 big wins at Parkhead so far in the Champions League this season, but I think you fancy that they're going to be up against it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a hugely kind of anti-Celtic stance. I just feel at the prices, they might be a touch short. And you know, we've mentioned Club Bruges, you've created chances throughout this campaign. You know, even when they were down to 10 men away at Milan, they created plenty of chances. So I think they're quite an appealing draw, no bet price. Celtic have had a fantastic start. I think they on paper they had the easiest draw of any team in the Champions League, but that was mainly towards the end of the campaign. So they've already come through with some kind of bonus results. They win against Leipzig and a point away in Atalanta. So it's they're set up beautifully for the second half of the campaign. I just think, as I said, they look a touch shorter against Club Bruges. You've had a pretty tough run of fixtures and have handled themselves pretty impressively.
So the other 8 o'clock game featuring the British clubs on Wednesday is a massive one. Liverpool against Real Madrid at Anfield. Liverpool evens to win the game. It's 11-4 the draw, 5-2 Real Madrid. Where are we at with Real Madrid at the moment, Milt? Are they on the right track or are we still undecided?
Still slightly the jury's out, I think. I mean, they bounced back from the chastening defeats to Barcelona and Milan, a couple of regulation victories in La Liga either side of the international break, Mbappe and Bellingham back on the score sheet at the weekend. I think the main factor why I'm going to be opposing Liverpool is just the timing of this fixture, this huge game against Manchester City coming up. And also the fact that Liverpool have won 4 out of 4 already, they don't need to be going out all guns blazing to to win this game. And for that reason, I'm happy to take them on odds on against a Real side who, you know, have got outstanding pedigree in this competition and I think will be able to at least avoid defeat at Anfield.
It's an interesting scenario, Mark, isn't it? As Milt says, with that huge game with Manchester City at the weekend, how does Arnes not play it?
Yeah, I'm not sure how we'll play it, Warren. I would be quite confident that if Liverpool needed the 3 points from this game, that they'd be able to beat Real Madrid. But do wonder if he'll look to make one or two changes, because the City game is just huge. If they win it, you can't be giving out titles in December, but they'll be as good a position as they could have ever dreamt of. And they're already flying in the Champions League. So I would be wary of backing Liverpool for that reason. I'm going to go in the Asian sort of market here, over 3 goals. So if there are 3 goals in the game, you get your money back. If there are 4 or more, you win. And if there are 2 or fewer, you lose. And I just think that there will be lots of goals in the game, because Real Madrid are top heavy, even more so than they've been in previous years, with Mbappe, Vinicius, Bellingham. And they've got some horrendous defensive injury problems at the moment. Militao out long term. David Alaba not fully fit at the moment. Carvajal, very important right back, he's out for the season. His replacement, Lucas Vazquez, he's out as well. So it looks like Valverde is going to have to play right back. Not quite sure who will be in the sort of centre back positions. They, of course, lost Nacho in the summer. He sort of went off to the Middle East as well. So I think Real Madrid will have to play on the front four. That'll suit Liverpool, but I just would be slightly wary about Liverpool's focus, because if I was them, I would be thinking about that City game on Sunday.
Okay, well, up next, it's the Match in Focus. Well, this week's Match in Focus is at the Allianz Arena. It's Bayern Munich against Paris Saint-Germain on Tuesday evening, an 8 o'clock kickoff. In terms of the prices, well, Bayern are 4-7 to claim the victory, PSG 4-1, and it's 7-2 the draw. We'll start off, Mark, with you and looking at PSG, who at the moment may have it all to do.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that PSG might be struggling to make the top 24? Never mind the top 8. They have got a battle on to make it through to the next stage of the Champions League. That defeat to Atletico Madrid last time out was cruel. It wasn't deserved. They were the better team for large parts of the game. Got done, as so many have, by Atletico on the counter-attack. Last kick of the game, they lost it. Really, sort of, this is a big game for them. I think they'll lose it. I mean, if I give away my tip now, I think Bayern Munich are strong enough for your accumulator. As you said, 4-7. I think if you shop around, you might be able to get the last bits of 8-13. And I think that is a fair enough price about Bayern. But they're under pressure, yeah, Paris, because they've still got to play Man City in the Champions League phase. So you'd expect them to probably lose that game as long as City are up for it on the day. So big pressure, I would say, on the other two matches that PSG have got sort of coming up. I think they'll lose this game. Really interesting that in terms of the sort of defensive expected goals, they're the best team in the Champions League. They've conceded under 2 XG in total, but Arsenal beat them, I felt, quite comfortably at the Emirates. They barely laid a glove on the Gunners, and Bayern Munich, while not being perfect, I still like them at home. I think they'll go after PSG. I think they'll beat them.
Funnily enough, Milt, it seems to be a running theme in this week's assist, the fact that we're unsure as to where some of the bigger teams are at this stage of the season. And I suppose you could include Bayern in that as well. Mark's alluded to there that, you know, they're still really solid at home, but we've seen them lose against Villa. What are you making of the job Vincent Kompany's doing so far?
Yeah, again, you know, you have kind of new managers and obviously the new format of the Champions League. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit of kind of phony wartime at the moment. I think that defeat to Barcelona was the really eye-catching one for Bayern. They've responded to that very impressively, won their 6 subsequent matches to nil. I mean, they've had a really soft run of Bundesliga games. I don't think they've played anyone in the top 8. So, you know, you're still not kind of banking on that being the form that Kompany is going to bring over a long period of time. But I think in this game, they are going to be able to keep PSG at bay. You know, Mark mentioned the game at Arsenal, 2-0 to Arsenal, and yeah, it looked pretty comfortable for the Gunners against PSG. And so, yeah, I think Bayern to win 2-0 is quite an appealing price. Just looking at their record against PSG, they really have a hold over them. Won 5 of the last 6 meetings in the Champions League. 4 of those were with clean sheets. And you know, the loss at Villa, I think they were pretty unfortunate. You know, dominated possession, dominated the shots, and just got done by a terrific late strike from John Duran. So yeah, I'm thinking Bayern should be able to see this one out quite ruthlessly.
Okay, well, time now for our best bets of this week's Champions League action. We'll start with the assist treble, and Mark, we'll start with your selection.
Yeah, PSV to beat Shakhtar Donetsk, about 4-9. They've won 12 of their 13 Eredivisie matches, PSV. They've scored 45 goals in the process. They've got a goal difference of plus 36. And I was reading about Shakhtar and how difficult it is for them to get to away games. They have to go from Kyiv into Poland, and then they have to sort of fly from there. So it's a really arduous sort of journey that they have to play, take just to play their European games. It's remarkable, really, that they're even competitive. But PSV, I think, should be far too strong for the Ukrainians.
And you, Miltz, what's your assist treble selection?
Yeah, I'm going for Borussia Dortmund to beat Dynamo Zagreb. Dynamo have done well, actually. They've taken 7 points from their last 3 games, but they were hammered 9-2 by Bayern Munich in the first game. I think they're going to struggle against the Bundesliga heavyweights. Dortmund won 3 of their first 4, going well, had that 7-1 rout of Celtic. And yeah, I think they're going to be too slick for their hosts.
And I'm going for a both teams to score suggestion in the Monaco-Benfica game on Wednesday. It's around about 4-7. Monaco, 10 goals in 4 Champions League games, have been the surprise package so far, have the Liga 1 outfit. They've, in fact, scored 7 in their last 3 domestic matches. And likewise, Benfica also fine in the back of the net, 13 in their last 3 domestic games, 7-4 in Champions League this season as well. And I think there will be goals in that one. So I'm going for both teams to score with Monaco against Benfica. And we'll wrap up this week's assist Champions League special with the naps from Mark and James. James, we'll start with your nap first.
I'm setting myself up for a frustrating week because I'm going for another win to nil tip. This is Atalanta away at Young Boys. Atalanta on a 7-game winning streak in Serie A. That includes a 3-0 victory over leaders Napoli. And they're yet to concede a goal in Europe as well. 0-0 draws with Arsenal and Celtic. They've won their 2 on the road to nil. You know, Young Boys looking out of their depth, really. They've been beaten to nil by Aston Villa, Barcelona and Inter. And Atalanta look a class act at the moment.
You do indeed. Mark, what about your nap for this week?
Going for a trademark Atletico Madrid win in Prague. So I'm going to go for Atletico and under 3.5 goals against Sparta. Atleti have won 11 games this season. 10 of them have featured no more than 3 goals. And I think that, you know, in terms of Sparta, they really haven't created too much in recent matches. In their last 3 games in the Champions League, they've been outshot in terms of shots on target, 27-5. Now, that did include a pasting at Manchester City, but they were also outplayed by Brest in the last league phase game as well. So I expect Atleti to win the game, and when Simeone's side win, is usually not the prettiest.
No, and I did see a stat this week. Simeone's over 700 appearances in charge now of Atletico Madrid. He knows exactly how to get the best out of them. Well, plenty of action to look forward to then on Tuesday and Wednesday in the Champions League. My thanks to Mark and James for their input, looking ahead to those fixtures. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And if you like your golf, make sure that you follow us on The Sweet Spot and Steve Palmer's Tips every Tuesday. We'll be back with the latest assist on Thursday, looking ahead to the Premier League and EFL and FA Cup action this weekend. But in the meantime, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.